We're sisters, best friends, and authors on a mission to help you stoke your creative fire and live the life of your dreams. We believe that purpose fuels passion and that creativity is your secret weapon for mass construction. There's never been a better time to bless the world with your dream realized. You're listening to The Kate and Abby Show.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Kate and Abby Show. Today, we are going to delve into some habits that you can establish in your writing routine to help keep you inspired and nourished mind, body, and spirit. Many of you are on your NaNoWriMo journeys right now, perhaps writing your first novel or your second, fourth, fifth, whatever it is. You are perhaps showing up and establishing a writing routine, maybe even for the first time. So these are all tips that we're going to go over to help you create a writing routine, establish a routine where you can stay inspired and really delve into what are the things that you are doing to lay that groundwork, to lay that foundation, to keep yourself inspired. Because as we know, inspiration isn't something that just drops out of the sky or hits us like a bolt of lightning. It's something that we have to build and we have to create for ourselves and look after ourselves. A lot of this is going to be self-care, and I'm excited. It's going to be a good time. But before we get into that,
we first have to thank our sponsors, who are you guys. You are the ones who support this show, keep it going, and we so appreciate your help and your support. So if you get value out of this podcast, consider going to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow and helping us keep this podcast alive and free of interruptions. So I think one of the big things that a lot of writers encounter in the midst of NaNoWriMo, especially around this time of the month where we're kind of getting to the midpoint of our projects and the midpoint of the month, is that dreaded writer's block, or just kind of this lull where you feel like a little bit uninspired and maybe you're starting to feel some fatigue from going so quickly, from writing so much and getting up to this point. So how can we mitigate that writer's block or slog or lull in our writing lives and create, like you were saying earlier, create a habit, cultivate like a creative environment in your mind, in your body, in your spirit, that you don't encounter this roadblock in your writing process? Or if you do, you know exactly what to do to kind of overcome it and get back on the path.
Like there's a saying that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I think that's really applicable to things like creative burnout. We can do a lot to mitigate that and prevent that from happening. Yeah. It's better to prevent that from happening rather than to have to climb out of that rut of burnout, because now we've depleted our inner resources so much that we're really in a state of being tired and unhappy. Right. Let's nip that in the bud and do some preventative work to keep that from happening. So one of the first things I think you can do is to take time to get in the right mindset each day before you get into your writing, to establish a soul-nourishing pre-writing routine, whether that includes meditation or movement or positive affirmations. And this is something Abby and I have practiced for a long, long time now, is finding some things that really make you feel good in your body, whether that's doing a 10-minute meditation. I just finished a free meditation course, so go check it out. If you're someone who's like, hey, meditation might really help me get into the right headspace, I did a 5-day free meditation course that's available on my channel, and it's designed for writers on this NaNo journey. I wanted to release it with NaNo to see if it was something that would help you guys get into that writing headspace. So try that and see what you think of it. It could be yoga. It could be reading an inspiring book. Like, these are some of the things you do too in your morning routine or your routine before you sit down to write.
Right. Yeah. It's so helpful because you're showing up with, you want to show up with the cup of creativity already full and ready to pour from. You don't want to show up burnt out with an empty cup that you have nothing. And you feel like, you know, I've been going so fast all week that now finally I've arrived at a day or a time of day where I can finally write, and now I'm like empty. You want to be cultivating a creative mindset throughout your week. Even if you don't have time to write, you're still taking that time for cultivating it. Like in my last live training, I was talking about cultivating a creative mindset and kind of use the example of a garden and how when you are cultivating and nourishing a garden, you are putting in what you know is good for the garden that will help it to flourish, and you are taking out the weeds and the things that encroach upon the growth of the plants. I like that. Yeah, so
kind
it's
of
like
taking stock of where you're at, how you feel creatively.
Right. Yeah, and looking at it as like a whole picture, you know, like you're saying with the mind, body, spirit thing. It's like taking a holistic approach to it will help so much to keep the whole garden vibrant and healthy and happy. Whereas if you're just like, okay, all of this happens in my mind, so, you know, I just have to come up with good ideas and sort of muscle my way through this. That's not a holistic approach, and you'll find that you're actually more burnt out, more tired, more mentally fatigued if you're just trying to mentally muscle your way through it. Whereas, like you're saying, if you take time for movement, for meditation, what those things really do is they help you to let go of the thinking mind, you know, and that rest period is a lot of times what helps us to find inspiration and find the strength to keep going. Just like with resting your body after you've been, you know, exercising, working out, building muscle, you need to rest in order for your muscle to grow back and build.
Exactly.
You know, if you just keep working, it's just going to lead to a path of burnout and destruction,
right.
You know, ultimate like failure. Collapse. So yeah, taking the time
in every sense of the word.
So you don't want to collapse creatively either.
Right.
You want to make sure that you're letting go. And for me, like movement, exercise is a really helpful thing because it's like you can completely let go of the thinking mind and you're not trying to do anything with your brain. You're just enjoying the aspects of, you know, just moving in your physical body or just breathing, enjoying nature, taking a walk, things that anything that like just detaches you from the thinking mind.
Right. And also from a physiological standpoint, you're increasing blood flow to the brain, you're oxygenating the body, it's releasing good endorphins, you're getting that dopamine hit, and all of those chemical reactions in the body, based on studies, and you can look this up, look up like benefits for focus from exercise. How can exercise help you focus better? And you'll see these studies about how exercise is really directly linked with our minds and our cognitive health. And when you think about when we're sitting at a desk for a long period of time, we're not breathing that deeply. We tend to breathe more shallow breaths. We're not moving very much. There's a lot of compression happening in the body, especially in like the lower back, the hips. Those are all areas that start to compress and receive less oxygen. So when you move the body, whether it's going for a walk, doing yoga, or doing any other exercise or movement of choice, it's helping to get all of that moving, to increase oxygen, and that's actually going to help you think better. It's going to help you think more clearly.
Yeah.
So it's not even just about, oh, hey, you know, have a variety of things going on in your day, which of course is good, but it is going to help increase that focus.
Yeah, it's so important. And I know it's like seems counterintuitive sometimes, because like sometimes when I'm experiencing like a lull or a roadblock in my writing, I'll be like, oh no, I have to sit here and figure it out until, you know, I have to sit here and, you know, sort out my ideas and find a solution to this problem. And it's frustrating to like just walk away from it, you know?
Right.
But actually that's the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Because like if you're just sitting there muscling your way through this roadblock, but you're not getting anywhere, you're just hitting a wall over and over again, it's making you more frustrated and more stuck and angrier at yourself, you know, for not finding a solution, where you could just gracefully, compassionately set it aside, be the one in control, not the one being controlled by it, and go do something else.
Right, exactly.
You know?
You're right, have that self-care.
Yeah.
And realize, like, okay, even if I feel like I'm in a lull with my writing right now, it will pass.
Yeah.
And I can get up and I can go do something else. And I can come back to this later with a fresh set of eyes. You don't have to beat yourself up over it, like you were saying in one of your last videos you did. Yeah. Like, don't beat yourself up over it. Find a new frame of mind.
And a lot of times you'll get great ideas while you're out, you know, walking in nature or exercising or meditating. Something might just, like, come like a bolt out of the blue. Inspiration might strike you and you're like, wow, I'm so glad I took that break. That's happened to me so many times. Like, I'll be That's like, wow, amazing. I'm so glad that I, you know, set it aside and took the time to just relax, because there's the idea. Yeah. There's the solution right there.
Exactly. So it's good to take that break. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gotten that great idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Which leads us really well into our next point, which is, if you're stuck, talk it out. Bounce the idea off of someone else. Get a new perspective, even if it's from a person who's not a writer.
Yeah.
And this is something we use all the time with each other. We're constantly bouncing ideas off of each other for our respective books, not just the books that we're writing together, but also our own respective novels. Whenever one of us is in a place where we're thinking, I don't know if I'm stuck here, or if I want to go this direction or what, we go to each other and talk it out. And I think that helps so much to get a new perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, it does, for sure. And like, there's almost... I can't even think of a time where that didn't work for me.
Right.
Like, almost always, it just gets me thinking in a different way. And even if it doesn't, even if I don't come to, like, a complete solution, it always sparks some sort of new thought for me. And I'm like, you know, just given more, I guess, creative freedom, it feels like.
I like that.
Just more ability to see different possibilities and not be so... limited, like, okay, there's just this one, you know, path forward. A lot of times when you talk it out with somebody, they help you to see that there's multiple paths forward. There's different opportunities here. You could take this scene or this plot line in different directions and try different things. And a lot of times, you know, like you were saying, even if the other person isn't a writer, they can still, you know, provide you with some interesting insight that you might not have seen.
Right.
That you might not have even seen because they're not a writer.
Yeah.
You know? Because they're more of on the reader side.
Exactly. I was about to say that too. They're, even though they're not a writer, I'm sure they've read books.
Right.
You know, so, and even if they're not a big reader, it's still a fresh new perspective that's not yours. So it will get you thinking in new directions. It will introduce some new ideas. It will get those, like, creative juices flowing, I think. And
Very
it will
true.
Get you to see it in a new way.
Yeah, exactly.
Which leads us to our next point, which is to flip the idea on its head. If you're stuck on a certain element, try changing it completely.
Mm.
Try adding a plot twist. Try adding something unexpected. So this is something I think we've both done in our co-write and in respective books that we've written, is... trying something totally new. If you feel like, I'm stuck, something's just missing, something's lacking, or maybe perhaps you don't feel excited about it, you feel like this is dry, or this is, I feel a bit muddled, I don't really know if this is exciting enough, or if it's a bit too loose for me to really feel confident about writing it, try flipping the idea upside down. Look at it backwards. See what it looks like from a different angle than the way you've been looking at it this entire time.
Yeah.
Or add a plot twist. Or add something completely different. Bring in a completely new character or a completely new element and just see what happens. See what it does to your story.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really good thing to do when you hit a roadblock or you feel like there's something missing.
Right.
Because it has to be something that, like, you personally... love, you know, that you're excited about, and that it's like something that you would, that if you hit this area in the book you're like reading, you know, the book that you're currently reading, you're like, oh, this is juicy. I'm enjoying this. This is going to be fun. This is going to be cool. Which actually I was talking about this exact thing on my most recent live training, in the realm of like coming up with new ideas, getting excited about your book. Just some brainstorming prompts that I use all the time and I find really helpful, and you guys might find helpful as well. I made a whole video diving deeper into these brainstorming prompts, which you can find on my channel. But just real quick, some of the few brainstorming prompts that I ask myself is, first, what you just said, which is, what if I flip it upside down? Look at it, you know, from the opposite perspective. What if I change the genre? What if I add a trope I know I'm a sucker for? I love that one.
Yeah.
That one always works for me. What if I change or add a point of view character? What if I make it a retelling? What if I made it a sequel or a spinoff for a different book? What if I change the theme? And what if I combine this story idea with another story idea? Mm. So that one can also be fun because you probably have lots of story ideas and you're maybe excited about a lot of different ones at the same time. Is there a way to like weave them together in a way that is unique and would make you more intrigued in writing it? Because it has to be like intriguing and fun and, you know, exciting for you personally to write this. You know, it has to be like an adventure.
Yeah, it has to be an adventure. I agree. It has to be a fun experience for you as the author. That's what's going to make it fun for your reader, is that it was fun for you first. And I think that carries over really well into the reading experience. And I love that. Like, there's so many different questions you can ask yourself to get your brain working differently, to see something differently. Mm. Because really, writer's block, a lot of times, is we're asking ourselves the same question over and over again and we're unable to find an answer.
Yeah.
Or we're looking at the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And we need to somehow get out of that groove and blaze a new path cognitively.
Yes, very true. Yeah. And I think another thing that's really helpful to do is to just know what you love. And sometimes we can't even like identify what those things are about a story that makes us like, oh, I need to see more of this. I need to watch more the next episode, or I need to keep reading, you know, even into the wee hours of the morning. What are those things that like really get you interested in a story and really excite you about a story? Even I would recommend making a list of these things just for your own reference. I've done this before and it's helped me a lot just to like self-analyze, like, what are those things that I'm a sucker for all these tropes. I love them so much. I will pick up any book that has this element in it and be interested in it. And just making a short bullet point list of those things for your own reference, you can then reference that list when you're brainstorming new ideas for your story and finding, you know, how can I make this more exciting for me? What is it missing? Chances are it's probably missing one of those things that you really love, that you just personally get excited to read a book that has that in it, or to watch a film that has that element. And so even if you can just add one of those things, even if it's just for one scene, can be really helpful, I find. Yeah. Like for me, I know one of the things that I really love in a story is like fun and games.
Yeah.
Like some sort of element where there's like challenges or dares or just some sort of like lighthearted escapades. And so whenever I reach a point in a story where I feel like, you know, something's kind of falling flat here for me, there's like something missing, I need something a little bit more fun and interesting, I'll ask myself, like, can I add some sort of fun and games element here? Can I make something, you know, kind of lighthearted and comedic happen in this scene that will make it more interesting for me to write because I really enjoy writing that. So just identifying, like, what are those tropes that you really like? What are those elements that immediately make you, like, immediately sell you on a story? And can you find a way to, like, weave that into this next part of your book? Even if it's not the whole book, even if it's just the next chapter, something that would personally make you, you know, jump over this roadblock and keep going.
Yeah, and it's like you're always saying, write the book that you want to read.
Yeah.
So identifying what those things are that make you super excited to read a book, well, chances are those same elements will probably make you really excited to write a book as well. Mm-hmm. So finding out what are those things, and if you aren't sure what those things are, maybe take a moment to write down a list on a notebook. Write down a few things that you love. Find some commonalities between maybe TV series or movies or books, novels that you really enjoy, and see what those commonalities are, and maybe kind of use a blend of those in your own writing. And the next point we wanted to talk about was getting enough sleep and how poor sleep can really lead to so much struggle in trying to focus, in trying to get creative. Yeah. It can cause negative emotional impacts and stress, and it affects our brain's process with thought and making judgments. And this is one that I think a lot of people easily ignore, because when push comes to shove, whether it's like an exam or trying to get a book done or trying to accomplish something on a deadline, sleep can be one of the first things that goes out the window. Like, we want to stay up late and continue working, or we get up super early and we want to get an early start on working. But it's so vitally important to make sure that we're getting a good night's rest. Yeah. Because sleep, when you're not getting enough sleep, it really affects everything during the waking hours of your day.
Mm. Yeah, very true.
And I notice for myself, I know when I haven't slept enough or my body feels depleted of rest, it's very difficult for me to feel creative, to feel excited and nourished creatively. I have a really hard time writing. I have a hard time focusing. And a lot of that's connected to sleep. Mm. And so that's a big one, I think. Like, I know you've probably felt that too at different times.
Yeah, for sure. And that's something that, like, over the past couple of years have been focusing on, like, getting better sleep, improving my quality of sleep, and the quality of everything else has really increased in my creative life.
That's a good way to put it.
Too. And that's definitely, I see a direct connection with that on a personal level. And just, there's so many studies, like you're saying, about sleep and how important it is for your brain and your creativity and just being inspired, having the energy to show up for whatever you're working on. I think one thing that a lot of writers fall into, and a lot of people in general in today's world, is like taking all the thoughts and the projects and the you know, stuff we see online into our sleep with us. And a lot of times the way you do that is, you know, looking at screens right before bed, or, you know, being on YouTube or social media, or just looking at a lot of information input before you go to sleep.
Like high stimulation for the mind.
Yes. I saw a post online recently that said something about, like, it was relating going to sleep at night with, like, slowing down a car, like stopping a car. Like, going to sleep is like stopping a car, and you can't stop a car from, like, going 80 miles an hour to, like, just stopping. It's not going to end well. So you can't, like, you have to slow down your brain in a similar way. And you can't just, you know, be going and on your phone or on your computer and just, like, all of this high stimulation information input. And then, like, okay, I'm going to go to sleep now. You know, shut off the phone, get in bed. It's not going to happen that quickly.
Right.
So it's going to take a long time for your brain to slow down. Even if you fall asleep quickly, on a subconscious level, your brain is still, like, you know, buzzing at high speed.
Yeah. A lot of times that's why you end up dreaming of whatever you were doing.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people experience that. I know I've experienced that, and I think you have too.
Yeah.
Where it's like you're just dreaming about what you were thinking before you went to sleep. It's actually very unrestful.
Yeah, it is. It disturbs your sleep. So
dreaming of to-do lists.
Yeah. So whatever you can do to, like, wind down, slow the car down, will help you to have a deeper, more restful sleep. And that'll be different for everybody. Maybe it's journaling. Maybe it's, you know, meditating before bed, or hanging out with your family, or reading, or watching something. But even, like, watching something on TV or watching a movie can differentiate a lot depending on, like, you know, we always talk about, like, things that are lower stimulation, higher stimulation for your brain, that sometimes that can even disturb your sleep if you're watching something that's, like, really, you know, action-packed, high-stimulation movie before bed. You might find your brain is going faster when you're trying to sleep than if you watched, like, Pride and Prejudice.
Right.
You know?
Something a little more relaxing. Yeah.
So even that can, like, it can be very different depending on what you are, what your brain and what your vision is processing before you go to sleep at night. So just being mindful about that and noticing, you know, what works for you, what doesn't, and maybe noticing, like, huh, yeah, maybe if I did eliminate a few of those things or swap them out with something else, my sleep would improve a lot more. And your creativity will improve a lot more as a result.
Right, exactly. It's so important. And a few of the things you can do to get a better night's sleep, like Abby's saying, is perhaps mitigate your screen time. So maybe like 3 hours before you're going to go to sleep, try to wind down computer usage and phone usage, watching videos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Try to wind your mind down. You can also use things like gentle yin yoga and meditation to calm your mind. You can use herbal teas. All of those things help to kind of signal your body that this is time to rest. This is time to wind down and let go of the stressors of the day that keep your body and mind alert.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things you can do. And that leads us to our last point, which is to nourish the body and spirit through nutrition and uplifting content. So this tags on well with everything that we've been talking about, which is not only nourishing your mind, but also nourishing your body, making sure that you are eating healthy foods that are helping to fuel your mind and body. I notice a huge difference in myself when if I'm skipping meals because I'm so busy, I'm so into my writing, I'll notice like, oh, I just like can't think straight. I feel like I'm not as creative. It's usually because I need to eat something. I need to make myself a healthy meal. And that's different for everybody, for sure. It's such a diverse topic. But figuring out whether through your own research or working with a nutritionist, what's a nice, healthy diet, some healthy recipes that you can turn to. And now in the day of, you know, all this information accessible to us on the internet, it's so much easier to find quick, easy, healthy recipes that you can turn to. Maybe even do a little meal prepping. So if you're doing NaNoWriMo right now, you don't have to stop and do a bunch of cooking. You can just have some meals ready to go. I know you like to do that, to have a little bit of meal prepping done. So it minimizes how much time you have to spend making food.
Right. Yeah. It gives you more running time, preparing your meals ahead of time.
Yeah. And your brain burns a lot of calories too. That's something a lot of people don't think about, is you, as you're sitting there thinking, you know, your brain needs fuel as well. And so fueling yourself with healthy calories is super important to overcome writer's block and to stay creative, but also what you're nourishing your mind with in terms of positive content, inspiring, uplifting content.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge one. And we talk a lot about affirmations. You've done motivational videos on your channel that are kind of walking. You guys should go check it out. These, like, they're like motivational videos. They're not so much affirmations, but you're kind of like walking the viewer through how to have a positive mindset, how to have a an inspired outlook on what it is they're creating.
Yeah.
And that can be really important to maybe take 5 minutes before you get started and just get into a good frame of mind. This isn't about just getting hyped up on motivation that will quickly go away.
Right.
But it's about reframing our thought patterns so that we can have a healthy, positive outlook on our own creativity and not be negative, not be down on ourselves, to be cheering ourselves on and encouraging ourselves. That's really important. On the flip side, you can also use affirmations, which I have over on my YouTube channel. I'll link a few of the affirmation meditations below, where I walk you through affirmations that you can repeat aloud that are specifically designed to help writers get into a headspace of positivity and inspiration for their writing practice. So they're usually called affirmations for writers, but affirmations can be another powerful one to help get you in that perspective of really celebrating your work, celebrating what you do, rather than being negative, rather than judging your own work.
Yeah, I love that. It's so important to do, and to be proud of yourself and to find joy and love for what you do, because that's going to make you more creative, more genius ideas come out of love and not a place of fear or lack.
Right. So to recap, if you're looking to beat writer's block during NaNoWriMo, or you're just looking to do that important preventative work to keep yourself inspired and healthy, mind, body, and spirit, take time to get into the right mindset, whether that's establishing a healthy morning routine or a pre-writing routine, maybe bringing in a movement practice like yoga or going for a meditative walk, doing meditation or an affirmations practice before you get started, get into a right mindset. If you're stuck, talk it out with someone, whether they're a writer or not. flip the idea on its head, look at it from a new perspective, try adding a plot twist or something new, a new character, a new perspective. Ask yourself those prompts that Abby shared. Get enough sleep, because sleep can so enhance your daily creative flow, and lack of sleep really can damage the body over time. So make sure you're sleeping enough, and nourish your body through healthy nutrition and healthy content, which, if you haven't had a chance to check out my new meditation course, I have a free 5-day meditation course on YouTube. You can find it, I'll put it down in the description of this video. So you can check it out. It's 5 days. So it's meant to be done 5 days in a row, right before your writing practice or first thing in the morning. And if you're someone who's maybe never tried meditating and you're not sure how it would work for a creative writer, this would be maybe something fun for you to just give a try and see how you like it. A lot of writers have been emailing me and commenting to me on my channel, letting me know how much it has helped them get in the right headspace for writing their book, which has been really touching and exciting to see, because it's something that has helped me so much in my personal journey, and that's exactly why I share it. And I also have 2 other more extensive meditation courses for writers that kind of walk you through the complete package of how to look after yourself, mind, body, and spirit, so that you can stay creatively inspired, and those are linked below as well. But definitely check out the free one, because you did the first meditation.
So yes, far. I want to do the rest of them, because the first one was like so relaxing. It's just like a stress melt. And it was so nice to just, you know, clear the mind.
Yeah.
And that's something like we were talking about before with, you know, the setting yourself up for creativity, cultivating the garden, right, of your creative mind, and how it's so important to let go of everything. And if you feel yourself like mentally just holding on to things, your to-do list, your schedule, you know, conversations you had with other people, whatever the case may be, anything that's like following you around like a mental shadow, letting go of all of that starts with just returning to yourself, returning to the peace and the stillness that's always there for you. It's always available to you.
Yeah,
and I think
exactly.
You do a beautiful job of, you know, guiding us through that, through the meditation course. So,
I'm so glad
definitely,
you think so.
Guys, check it out. It's going to all be linked below this video. So the links will be there. You can check that out and then take it one step further and check out Kate's courses, because they are extensive and very, very holistic approach there too. Because in your course, it's not just meditation. It's also recipes and is it affirmations as well?
Right. So the Writer's Wellness Journey
course,
which is a 10-day course, and it's really extensive. There's 4 videos a day, so it's over 40 videos total, plus some bonus content. And it walks you through a daily meditation, a motivational talk, a yoga practice, and a daily recipe. So it's kind of a little bit of everything Abby and I have been talking about here today. So if you're looking for like, hey, I want to establish some sort of healthy routine every day that will get me, you know, meditating, moving, eating healthy, and just somewhat inspired. It's a good jumping off point.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a springboard for you to develop your own practice. I try to just infuse it with a lot of good ideas and start a conversation with you guys. A lot of writers have told me it's benefited their writing. So that's been exciting to see.
That's awesome. Yeah. So if you need Kate to be your healthy life coach, definitely check out that course as well, because it's extensive. It's beautifully made. The filmmaking alone is so yummy to watch. And Kate has such a relaxing voice through all her meditations, and your motivational talks are just so inspiring. It's awesome. Definitely check it out. Links for all of what we just mentioned will be below this video. And we hope that you guys enjoyed this discussion today. Also, comment below and let us know where you are in your NaNoWriMo journey or your writing journey in general. What are you working on at the moment and how's it going? We'd love to hear from you guys and love to have you join this discussion and tell us what is something that you do to help you overcome that obstacle. If you hit writer's block or you feel stuck with your writing, what do you do to break free from that? We would love to hear all about that in the comments below. So comment below and let us know, and also give us a nice rating if you are listening on a podcast audio listening platform. We always appreciate that. And thank you again so much to our amazing patrons who make this show possible. We love you guys and appreciate your support so much. If you get value out of this podcast, go to patreon.com/thekateandabbyshow to help us keep this podcast alive and free of interruptions. And as always,
stay stoked
and rock on.